If you have your Bibles, turn with me. I have several verses I want to read today. Turn with me first to the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. And then we're going to jump to Matthew 12. Then we're going to jump to Luke 4 and Luke 6. Praise God, I'm going to be unconventional and read four verses for a text. Amen. But they're short verses, and they do all tie together today. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16 says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick." Matthew 12 and verse 15 says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." Luke 4 and verse 40 says, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them, every one of them." Luke chapter 6 and verse 19 says, "And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all." Praise God. If you haven't already guessed this morning, I'm going to minister along the lines of healing this morning. I want to talk about healing today, biblical healing today. If you would help me pray, and let's ask for God's help upon this service. Lord Jesus, we love you today, God. We thank you for the presence of God that we felt already in this house, Lord, for your Spirit, Lord, that you've come down to meet with us today, Jesus. God, we ask that you would anoint this word to every heart, every mind, every need here today, Lord. Give us understanding of your word, God, and let it get down into the depths of our heart, Lord, and let it change us and shape us to be more like you. God, we'll be sure to give you the praise and the thanks because you deserve all the praise. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. Now let me begin this morning and preface this a little bit by saying that I am not an expert at this matter. I was talking to Brother Fred the other day, and he was talking about a message that Brother Howard preached on healing. If you want to talk to somebody that is an expert on healing, Brother Howard would be the guy that you would want to go talk to. Amen. I love to hear the stories that he tells of healings that he has partaken of or witnessed or things that he has seen in his ministry. But I will tell you that God did lay this on my heart, and I just want to be obedient to God. I just want to follow what God has for the service this morning. In each of the scriptures that we read here today, and there are obviously many others, we can see that all the people that were brought to Jesus were healed. Not a few of them, not some of them, not a handful of them. God is not a respecter of persons, but all of these people that came before the Lord were healed. Every scripture that we read in there, it shows that all of them were healed. Many that were brought unto them. Every one of them were brought unto him. He healed them all. I have several scriptures this morning that I want to go to, and I'm gonna try to go through them quickly. If you want to write them down, feel free to, and you can look at them later. But follow along with me. I wanna set a good foundation for what this healing, this biblical healing, tells us in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Time after time, and as we read through these scriptures, I want you to just picture this in your mind. Every time that someone came before the Lord, every time that somebody came with a need, the Lord healed them. God didn't turn these people away. He didn't tell this leper, he didn't say, you know what, I don't want to heal you today. Just go back the way that you came. Just go back sick the way that you came to me. But he said, I will, be thou healed. Be thou made whole. And that was what these people came to Jesus for. They didn't come to him just so that he could lay a hand on them or touch them so that they could go back home the same way that they came. But he laid his hand upon them so that they could be healed and so that they could be cleansed. He wasn't afraid of leprosy. Leprosy was a very contagious disease. Amen. People would shy away from somebody that had leprosy for fear that they would be contaminated, that they would develop or get leprosy themselves. In fact, it was commanded in the Old Testament law that you were to stay away. Those lepers were to be stayed away. They were to be kept outside of the city, outside of the tent or the camp, so that they would not spread that disease to others. But Jesus wasn't worried about that. He didn't worry about catching leprosy because he was the healer. If he was able to heal this man, he was able to heal himself should he catch it. Matthew 8 and verse 14 Another example says, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, Peter's wife's mother. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. He didn't have to pray a certain prayer or say the certain words to make this happen, but he just laid his hand upon her hand. He just laid his hand upon her, and she immediately, her fever was healed, and she was made whole. Matthew chapter number 14 and verse 34 says, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of the Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent unto him out into him all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched the hem, touched were made perfectly whole. If they could just touch the hem of his garment, they knew that they would be made whole. Matthew chapter number 20 and verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. This seems like a common denominator. Everywhere Jesus went, there was people following him. Everywhere he went, there was a great multitude about him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out. They lifted their voices. They didn't, Jesus, by the way, can I get your attention? Oh, he didn't hear me. But the Bible says they cried out. Now, it doesn't say specifically how loud they cried, but I have no doubt in my mind that they screamed at the top of their lungs. They may not have been able to see, but they could speak. They may not have been able to open their eyes and see what you and I see, but they had a voice. And they did everything in their power to cry out so that God could hear them, so that God could hear their voice. Amen. It says they cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. Don't talk to him. He's got more important things. He's got more important people to deal with. You people are blind. Just go on your way. Amen. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. They said, you can't quiet us. He's the only one that's able to help us. He's the only one that's able to heal us. We have to lift our voices even louder. Amen. No doubt they lifted their voices so loud they probably started to lose their voices. Amen. But they cried out with everything that they had. The Bible says in verse 32, it says, and Jesus stood still. And he called them and said, What will ye that I do unto you? What would you have me to do unto you? What do you need from me? And Jesus stood still. Down one verse, verse 33. And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. They said, Lord, if you could see it in your power, if you would have the time, Lord, could you please just open our eyes? Now, before this time, this would have been a huge request. Amen. To ask a man, any man, even a prophet, to open the eyes of the blind was a huge request. But they had no doubt heard accounts of him healing other people. They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Mark chapter number 6 and verse 53 says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of the Gennesaret and drew to the shore. A very similar story as we read before. And it said, and when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. They knew who he was. They knew what he was famous for. And ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick. And when they heard that where he was, and whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and he besought him that he might touch, if it were, the borders of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. As he walked through the streets, if you can get a visual picture here tonight or to this morning of what had happened. They brought the sick and they would lay them in the middle of the street. And as Jesus walked by, sick people, people that had diseases, people that had leprosy, people that had boils upon their body, people that had issues of blood, people that had maybe just a common cold, people that were sick in their bodies, sitting there in the street, almost like a parade, waiting for the Lord to come by. And when he came by, if they could just touch his garment, they would be made whole. Can you imagine the anticipation? Can you imagine the desire that when he rounded the corner, he came up over the hill and they saw him, just the anticipation that must have built in their hearts. Amen. They didn't just sit there and, if I get to him, I do. If I don't, then, there'll be another chance. But no, they had a desire. If they could just get to the border of his garment. And it says, as many as touched him, every single one of them that touched him were made whole. Mark chapter 7 and verse 32 says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. They knew there was power if Jesus would just lay his hand upon this person. And he took them aside from the multitude and put his finger into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. A little bit unconventional, maybe. And he, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto them, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. That would be easier if I didn't have this in my mouth, but it probably would still be difficult to say. But he said unto them, be opened. And straightway, immediately, his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Amen. Luke chapter 22 and verse 49. And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? This is whenever they came to capture him, to take him into prison and to ultimately crucify him. And they said, Lord, when they come, should we smite him with the sword? Should we defend ourselves? Should we defend you? And one of them, he didn't even wait for an answer. One of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. The people that came to capture him, the people that came to throw him into prison and ultimately crucify him, he healed the ear of one of the high priests, of the high priest. He healed the ear of one of the servants. I looked, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you know of a scripture, tell me after the service, but I wasn't able to find one instance where a person was brought to the Lord or reached out to the Lord or touched the Lord while he walked upon this earth that he wasn't healed of the sickness or the disease that he had. Not one instance. Every single person, that's pretty good odds. That's pretty good. That's 100%. Amen. 100% of the people that came before the Lord were healed of their sickness or the disease. And not just sickness and disease like you and I might think about it, like a cold or the flu or cancer or glaucoma or whatever, tumors in our bodies, whatever you can think of. Those are the sicknesses and the diseases so often that we think about. But Jesus came not just to heal those things. He came to heal a broken heart. He came to heal sin. He came to heal sickness in our mental body, not just in our physical body. And every one of those people that were brought to him, he healed them. And the Bible says time and time again, they were made whole. Amen. Meaning that before that time, they weren't whole. They weren't complete. Even if they didn't have a physical ailment in their body, they still weren't whole. And Jesus made them whole. Jesus is the only one that has the ability to make us whole. Amen. No matter what we're going through, if it's sickness in our body, yes, absolutely. But if it's something that you're searching for someone to fill a void in your life, for someone to fill that point of happiness, amen, God is able to make you whole today. People who needed spirits cast out of them, Jesus touched them, or he spoke it, and the spirits were cast out of them. People who had obviously sickness or infirmity in their bodies were healed and they were made complete. Can you imagine it today? Word must have spread. This was a small area. They traveled by foot or by horse or camel from city to city, but it wasn't very far. So word must have traveled very quickly through that time that the Lord had healed somebody. Every time the Lord healed somebody. Well, somebody starts telling a story. Well, he stuck his fingers in his ears and he licked his tongue and it was, I don't understand how it happened, but after he did, the guy was able to heal and he talked just like you or I talk. No, that couldn't have happened. Oh, I saw it with my own eyes. And word passed from city to city and from people to people. And it wasn't just stories, it wasn't just fairy tales that people were telling, but faith began to rise in people's hearts. When someone that has a similar situation as you do, and you hear that God has the Lord of glory, someone touched them and healed their bodies, you start to get faith rising in your heart. Well, if God can do it for them, God can do it for me. If God can heal that deaf person, and I'm deaf, I know that God can heal me. If God can heal the blind, He can heal my eyes, or He can heal my ears. He can heal the sickness in my body. And faith began to rise in that area. That's why there, everywhere He went, there was a multitude gathered around Him. If they didn't believe that He could heal them or touch them, there wouldn't have been people following Him. Yes, they wanted to hear Him teach and minister. They wanted to hear what He had to say. They wanted to learn from Him. But most of the people, read it today, most of the people that were in that multitude had a need. They had something that they needed from God. And they knew that if they could just get close to Him, that they could get their need fulfilled. And maybe in this instance, there's times where the multitude was gathered around Him, and he would slip away from them onto a ship and go to the other side, and they would be like, I missed out on my opportunity. I've got to get to Him. They wouldn't give up. They'd keep going. They'd keep trying to find Him. They would go to across the city. They'd try to find a boat that would go and follow them so that they could get into the next multitude, so that this time maybe they could get close to Him and they could touch Him. They had a desire. Anticipation must have risen in every time that people heard these accounts. And they built every time. It wasn't just one time that God healed somebody, but every time that He healed somebody, they got a little bit more optimistic. Maybe He can touch me. Well, you know, he's healed this, but He's never healed this. He's lifted up this type of person, but He's never gone this far. Amen. And then they heard about Lazarus. When He raised Lazarus from the dead, and they said, if He can raise someone from the dead, surely He can heal and cure any type of sickness that would come against our body. Faith rose in people's hearts every time, not only they heard it, but they witnessed it. They saw it for their very eyes. It wasn't just someone telling me, oh, well, I heard about somebody getting healed. It's not just Brother Worsh getting up here and telling you when he was in the church in Boston that he heard of a woman or saw a woman get healed of a tumor that was on her waist, and her waist lost several inches, so much so that she had to grab her skirt because she lost so many inches so quickly. Or people hearing healing of glaucoma or cancer. And I love to hear those stories. I love to hear the elders talk about healings that they've seen. If you read the accounts of the Azusa Street revivals, amen, it wasn't just people getting the Holy Ghost, but it was people being healed. Amen. It was people being healed completely. And every time you see a healing, every time you're there, whenever someone is healed and you hear them proclaim that God has healed them, and you see them, and then the next service goes by and you're like, you know, it's in our nature, we doubt. Amen. It's in our nature that we doubt. That's normal. Amen. And we hear somebody say, God healed me. And the next service, we're watching them to see if they're still healed. Did God really heal them, or did they just get a touch that day? Amen. We're guilty. I'm guilty of it. And I've seen God heal. But the next service, when they're still healed, praise God. And then we come again, we're like, are you still healed? God still healed you? Yeah, absolutely. I'm still healed. I haven't had pain since. I haven't had anything since. I went back to the doctor and the cancer's gone. I went back to the doctor and he said, whatever it was that was ailing me before, it's gone. Well, tell me if it comes back, okay? You'll never hear from him. Hopefully you don't. Amen. Praise God. But we doubt because we're flesh. Because we have doubts because we can't comprehend the healing of God sometimes. Amen. But every time they heard an account, every time they saw it, their faith rise. A little bit higher. The few times, and I've seen God heal a few times in my walk with God right before my eyes. And each time, it's made my faith rise a little bit higher. God, if You can do it for them, I know You can do it for me. God, if You can touch them and heal this sickness, I know that this is small compared to that. This is nothing compared to that. Imagine being one of His disciples, day after day, The multitude changed. The people who were in the multitude changed, but day after day they saw miracles work before them, every disease that you can imagine, and none of them stood a chance against the Lord of glory. None of them. I'm sure in time, you know, they didn't even question it anymore. I'm sure in time, and I've seen and heard of men that God uses in this aspect, that God uses them in a healing ministry, and they see so many healings that they don't even doubt it anymore. They don't even go back to you and ask, are you still healed? They just know that you are. But they got to the point where they didn't even question it. If someone came to the Lord sick, diseased, possessed, they knew that Jesus would heal them. But how was he able to do it? How was he able to heal every manner of sickness brought before him? Because he was the creator of the universe. He was the Lord of glory. He made our bodies. He made every sickness that our bodies can come up with. Amen. He doesn't create sickness so that we could suffer. But he allows sickness so that we would rely upon him, and so that we would trust in him more, so that in our time of need we wouldn't lean upon ourselves, but we would lean upon him. But what if I couldn't get to the Lord? What if the multitude is too great and I can't fight my way through? In several instances where I read, there was a great crowd about him, most everywhere he went. Just like in our day and age, I'm sure questions sometimes plague people's minds. Amen? What if I can't find him? What if I can't touch him? What if I can't get to him in time? What if the healing virtue runs out before I get there? What if my sickness is too bad or too far gone for him to heal? What if my sin is too bad for God to forgive? What are people going to think if I run up to the altar? What are people going to think if I come up to the front? Are they going to think that I'm in sin? What if it doesn't work? What if I pray? What if they anoint me with oil and I'm not healed? And questions begin to plague our minds. I'm sure there were those that didn't even try to get to the Master. Those who thought and said, you know what, it isn't really that bad. I can live with this. You know, I used to be really bad, but now I'm feeling better, so I can live with this. Or they thought, you know what, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that Jesus should touch me, that he should heal my body, so I'm not even going to try to get close to him. There are people today that are like that. People who thought, I'm not worthy of his healing. People who didn't have enough faith or enough desire or whatever it took to Jesus to get the touch that they so desperately needed. Unfortunately, such are some of us. Amen. We allow ourselves to be convinced that he can't or that he won't heal us. Amen. We come and pray, and if we're not healed the first time, we say, oh, it must not be God's will that I'm healed. I must have to suffer with this the rest of my life. We come to God we come to the altar or wherever, and we come and we touch God, and God doesn't heal us, and we think to ourselves, oh, well, I must be like the Apostle Paul, and his grace is sufficient for me, and it must not be his will that I'm healed of this. I must just have to be able to live with this the rest of my life. I'm not ever going to pray about it again. No. No, if the multitude, if the people in the multitude couldn't get to him the first time, they were in the next multitude. They were in the next crowd. That multitude, and the Bible doesn't say, but in my opinion, that multitude grew as it went on. Because I tell you what, if God healed my body, I'd keep following him. I wouldn't get what I needed and be like those, you know, nine other lepers that were healed. I'd be like the one that turned around and gave him praise and drew close to him. I wouldn't just go my way, well, thanks, Lord, appreciate it. Because then the next time I needed something, I'd have to go find him. But if I needed something and I was following him, I wouldn't be too far away. Amen. Brother Worst doesn't discuss it a lot, and I'm not going to go into details, but obviously, you know, he has a heart condition. And he's had that heart condition since he came to Augusta, 23, 24 years. And if you hear him talk about the healing of God, he still believes that God's going to heal his heart and that God's able to heal his heart. Amen. Has he prayed for it and God hasn't done it yet? Yes. Has he lost faith that God is going to do it? No. Because sometimes you have to go and you have to go back to the multitude. And you have to go back to touch the Lord again. Has God touched him? Absolutely. Has God sustained him and kept him this entire time? And his reliance has been upon God this entire time? Absolutely. But he's still believing God for a complete healing. He doesn't talk about it because he doesn't want people to feel sorry for him. He doesn't talk about it because he doesn't want people to doubt. Amen. But if you ever hear Brother Wurst talk about healing, it's in a positive sense. It's in the sense that God has and God can and God will heal sickness and disease in our body. Because he's in the multitude. He's drawing close to the Lord. He knows that if he can but touch the hem of his garment, that there's virtue that will come out. I want to help somebody today to understand that Jesus still can and still does heal. Amen. I've witnessed it on multiple occasions. I've heard, like I said, account from pastors and men and women, saints of God that have experienced it in their bodies. I've seen it. You can't convince me otherwise. You can't convince me that God's not a healer because I've seen him heal. You can't convince me that anything that our body can throw against him, anything that can come up against him is too big, because I've witnessed it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. God is our healer. I love to hear those stories. You know what? They don't get old. I've probably heard Brother Wurst tell the same stories of healing. I've been here almost 15 years, and I've probably heard them 30 or 40 times. Praise God. But you know what? They don't get old. I'm not like, oh, here he goes again, telling this story of this person that got healed of this. You know why he does that? Because maybe there's somebody here that's never heard that story and they need to hear it so that their faith will rise up a little bit. Or maybe I need to be reminded of it because maybe my faith has dropped down a little bit. But God is our healer. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 8 and verse 40. Luke 8 and verse 40 says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." So this man, if you can picture it today, this man comes before the Lord and he has a desire, his only daughter. And the Lord knew that I didn't need a daughter because I would be a puddle if I had a little girl. But this man's only daughter is dying. And he had heard about this healer. He had heard about Jesus. And he said, you know what? I'm going to leave her long enough to get to him. And I'm going to go get him and I'm going to bring him back to my house if he'll come. And I know that he can heal her body. And he did. He fought his way through the crowd. And he pushed and he pulled and he did whatever he could. He probably fell down a few times and he got back up. And he found his way to Jesus. And finally, he got his attention. He said, "Lord, if you will, come to my house. My daughter is dying." And the Lord agrees. The Lord agrees. He says, "Okay, I'm going to come with you." And so he changes course and he goes towards the man's house. But the Bible says that the crowd thronged about him. There were so many people he couldn't even get through. He couldn't even press through. And as he was walking, no doubt, there were people, other needs that were coming before him. "Lord, what about me? Lord, heal this sickness." And the Lord kept going. He kept walking towards the direction of Jairus' house. These people are coming to Jesus for a healing. He's pleading. Jairus here was pleading for the life of his daughter. Verse 43 says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 20 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." Amen. So this woman is in the crowd. And she comes and she's finally gotten to a place where she can almost get to him. And he starts going the opposite direction. He turns around and he starts going the other way. And she loses hope for a second. She presses in. Amen. To preface the story a little bit, it says here that She'd been sick with this for 20 years. And she had spent everything that she had, all of her money, on physicians, on doctors. And we do it. We spend our money on physicians before we go to the one true physician. We spend money on, and I'm not ministering against doctors or physicians, but we go to a doctor and they tell us to do this, and they tell us to try this, and they tell us, well, if that doesn't work, try this. And we try to take it into our own hands. We say, if I don't want to trouble Jesus with this, it's too small. He's got too many bigger things. It's just a common cold. You know, I just need some bed rest and some chicken noodle soup and I'll be good to go. Some hot tea. But we don't come to the Lord. And we take it into our own hands and we go to the physicians, and 20 years passes by and we're still in the same place where we started. We're not any better off. And that's what this woman was. Verse 44, it says that she came behind him. He's going the other way now. And touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. Amen. Matthew, the book of Matthew, you don't have to turn there, but same account, same story. In Matthew 9, it says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased of an issue of blood 12 years." I'm sorry, I said 20. It's 12 in both accounts. Came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Amen. She touched the hem of his garment. Now, if I could pause for a moment here, I want to bring your attention to something. I studied this out a little bit, and I found this to be so interesting. The border of his garment, as Matthew records it here, or the hem, is the Greek word kraspedon. Okay? The word is kraspedon. And it translates to a hem. It is a translation of the Hebrew word kanaf. Okay? Follow with me just for a moment. And it's actually two different words. It's kanaf and tzitzit. Don't ask. T-Z-I-T-Z-I-T. Okay? Tzitzit. Two words is what that contains. The kanaf is the corner, and the tzitzit is the fringes of something that is called the tallit. A tallit is what the Jews refer to in English as a prayer shawl. So if you will, she touched the border or the hem of his prayer shawl. Jesus was a Jew. The Jews wore a prayer shawl. And this was their covering. This was something they wore when they touched God. How much more fitting than this woman to touch him through prayer, through the place of prayer, to get the healing that she needed. Amen. She didn't just touch the bottom of his cloak. She didn't touch the back of his sandal, but she touched him in prayer. She touched him through prayer, because that's how she was able to get what she needed from God. So the woman reached out and she touched the edge of his prayer shawl. Let's read on just a little bit. Verse 45 says, "And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they were which were about him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" There are so many people around. Lord, how can you ask who touched you? And Jesus said, "Someone has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out from me." Someone's been healed. Someone got what they needed from me, if you will, is what the Lord said. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately." Excuse me. If you know what? I believe that God can heal over time. But if you look at every account in the Bible, when Jesus touched them, they were healed immediately. They weren't half healed now, and then they had to touch him again. And not that they shouldn't, but they were healed completely. They were healed completely. They weren't made partially whole. They were made whole. they were made complete. Amen. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Don't worry about bothering him. She's already dead. It's too late. I didn't get to Jesus in time. He didn't get to her in time. Don't worry about bothering him anymore. But when Jesus heard it, he answered, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Now, actually, if you read in your Bible, this account takes place before Lazarus. Amen. This was actually the first account of someone being raised from the dead. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. He came into that house, and he told her, she's not dead, but she's asleep. He told everybody, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn because they knew that she was dead. They knew that their sickness, their disease was too much for him to heal. They knew that he wasn't able. But he put them all out. He said, you doubters, you guys, you have little faith, just get out for a little while. And he took her by the hand and said, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Somehow word got out, because we were reading it today. Amen. God healed that little girl. God brought her back from the dead. Wait a minute. Jesus already healed somebody on this trip. That woman with the issue of blood had already gotten the healing from Jesus. He needed to go somewhere else because he couldn't heal anybody else in this area. This is the only account that I find in the Bible where there's a miracle in the midst of a miracle. But don't think for a minute that's the only time it happened. Because in my opinion, and the Bible does not say, but in my opinion, he probably healed several people on the way to Jairus' house. The Bible says they laid them in the streets, and as he passed by, if they could touch but his garment, they were made whole. How far was it from where he was to Jairus' house? How many streets did he have to walk down? How many people could touch him in that amount of time? But we do. We think sometimes that, oh, God healed Sister Chast during this service, so he can't heal me. They got the touch. I missed it. It's almost like the man that was at the pool of Bethesda. If once the angel troubles the water, if I can get down but touch the water, I can be made whole. And Jesus almost, you can almost see him laughing and smiling. He said, you don't need an angel to touch the water to have healing. The healer's standing right before you. Take up your bed and walk. Be made whole. Amen. I'll never forget it. I don't want to embarrass him this morning, but I remember I was praying. I believe Brother Worse was gone. I was praying for people after service, and Brother Deontay was up here at the altar, and either I wasn't being very sensitive or he snuck in and I didn't see him, but I prayed for some of the guys, and I went to pray for somebody on the other side, and he grabbed a hold of my arm, and it surprised me, and he said, Brother Reed, I need prayer too. I need prayer too. He could have been like, oh, well, you know what? It's not meant for me today. You know, maybe next service God will touch me. Maybe I'll get, you know, and not that what Deontay needs comes through me, but you understand what I'm saying. I need prayer too. Wait, don't go before you pray for, wait, no, don't leave before you pray for me. But oftentimes, when we're praying and somebody's praying, Fred's over here praying beside me, and I'm lifting up my hands, and I'm thinking, okay, pray for somebody else. Don't pray for me. No! If I have a need in my body, I need somebody to pray for me. And if they start walking away before they pray for me, I'm going to get their attention. Hey, I need prayer too. I don't know if you didn't see me. I don't know if, I mean, Fred's bigger than I am. He's not big, but he's just big. And he's bigger than I am, and he blocked your view. You didn't see me here, but I need prayer too because I need a healing in my body because I need deliverance. I need victory in something in my life. oh, well, if they pray for me, then someone's going to know that something's wrong. Yeah, absolutely, they will. And they can put their hand on your back and they can pray for you too. Amen. The Bible says, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the Bible says, is any sick among you, let them come and let the elders anoint him with oil and lay hands upon him that he may be healed. Praise God. It's not just the pastor, and the pastor is obviously ordained for the laying on of hands, but there's elders, there's other people in the church, praying people. People that are touching God on a regular basis. People that know how to talk to God. People that know how to reach out and touch God. That I want to have their hands on my shoulders too. I don't need somebody coming and shaking me and trying to make something happen. But you can lay your hand on my shoulder. And you can lay your hand on my back. And we bind together. And we pray God's healing upon that individual. But what if God doesn't heal them? Then I'm going to be up here the next time that someone calls for prayer, for healing. And I'm going to be right up here at the front so that I can get there first. Amen. Brother Wurst keeps oil. And there's nothing supernatural about this oil. It's olive oil. And if this runs out, he's got more in the office. Let's run it out. Amen. If we're sick, let's run it out. Amen. I'll go to the store. We'll buy some more olive oil. Because it's not in the oil. It's biblical. Anointing them with oil is biblical. And we do it because the Bible says to do it. But the power is not in the oil. The power is not in the man of God who's laying his hand upon you when he's praying for you. I'm going to get way out of myself this morning. Praise God. Praise God. God can heal somebody else. If God heals somebody over here, don't stop praying. Pray harder. Let your faith rise. If God healed them, he can heal me tonight too. Amen. But if someone runs to the front when pastor calls out for prayer and God touches them, I guess I just missed out. No, no. God is not restricted to one healing per service. He's not restricted to one healing a week or a month. Amen. God is not restricted by our thought processes. We think we have it all figured out. We have nothing figured out, okay? Just when you think that you've got God figured out, just when you think you can put him in a box and you understand exactly how he is and isn't going to work, God's going to do something out in left field and you're going to be like, how did that happen? Because he's God. Because he's bigger than us. Because he understands things that we don't. Amen. He's ascended into heaven. He's got a better vantage point than we do. We don't see healing the same way that they saw when he was on the earth. God, as many people as came to him, and in those verses that I read, the Bible says that he healed them all. Every one of them. He healed them all. As many as would come to him, as many as would believe, God healed them. Amen. Now, in case you're thinking that you're going to come to me and talk about the Apostle Paul and God didn't heal him, I said when Jesus was on the earth, everybody that came to him was healed. Something changed. He ascended, and we don't see healings like that anymore, do we? Absolutely. People are healed like that. We may not see a multitude following a person around, but I've heard of services where not just one or two people were healed, but multitudes of people were healed. Groups of people were healed. Oh, well, God's healing cancer tonight. No, God's healing everything. God's healing sin tonight. God's healing victory. God's healing illnesses, cancer, whatever it may be. God's our healer. We just have to bring it to him. We just have to give it to him. When he walked upon the earth, he contained the healing virtue inside of himself. That's because he was God manifest in the flesh. He was God robed in humanity. He took that to the cross with him. Amen. but not so that it would die, but rather so that it would be resurrected with him. Isaiah prophesied about it. Talking about Jesus, it says, Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 4. It says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." I've heard it said, and I've never studied it, but I've heard it said that he received 39 lashes across his back, 39 stripes, and that all the major diseases and sicknesses in this world can be classified into 39 distinctive categories, a stripe for every one of them. He took the pain and the suffering so that we don't have to. He took the pain and took it and nailed it upon Calvary's cross so that we don't have to. We don't have to pay for our sins with our own death, and we don't have to pay for our sickness with our own bruising and our own stripes. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 21, very similar. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Amen. Amen. When he was here upon the earth, he was the healer. But when he passed on into heaven, when he was received up into glory, amen, he passed that healing on. Amen. Amen. He passed it on first to his disciples. Amen. And they, you know what they did that while he was still alive? He gave them power, the Bible says, to heal all manner of sickness. Matthew 10 and 1 says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner." No, wait, it says some manner or most manner. No, it says all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Oh, well, the apostles aren't still here. It died with it when they died. No, no. The apostles healed the sick and they cast out unclean spirits. Not just the original apostles, but others that followed, other disciples. The apostle Paul, there's accounts of him healing. All through the New Testament church, you hear accounts of people healing, lifting up those that are sick. Amen. And it didn't stop when the Bible stopped. Amen. God still heals. God still uses men to heal. Amen. The power's not in them. Don't ever get the impression that when you come to the front and Brother Wurst or Brother Reed or a minister prays for you that the healing comes through them, because it doesn't. The healing comes from God. Don't let yourself get lifted up if God uses you in a healing ministry to lay your hands upon somebody or to pray with somebody and God heals that person. Say, "Well, I guess I got the touch." No, you've got the God. Don't get a big head. Amen. He passed his healing upon us, onto us. There was a difference, however. If we look here, there are examples that they were not able to do the same things that Jesus did. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14. Turn there with me this morning. Matthew 17 and 14. It says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man kneeling down and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him unto thy disciples, and they could not cure him. They tried, but they could not cure him. They couldn't get rid of this spirit. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Bring him here. I'll take care of this. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why couldn't we cast him out? Why couldn't we do it? You gave us power. You gave us that. We've done it before. Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Why is it that these men whom Jesus had given power to heal weren't able to do so in this instance? Because even though Jesus had given them power, the power was not theirs. Amen. Jesus gave them power to heal, but the healing did not come from them. Amen. Healing does not come from any man. And I'll tell you today, and in the generation that we live in, there's a lot of people that are going out around claiming that they're a healer, that they have healing power from God. And people will come to them and they'll touch them and they'll fall over on the floor and they're healed. Or he'll just swing his coat at them and they're healed. Or people will touch him and they're healed. But healing doesn't come from any man. Even his closest apostles, his closest disciples, it doesn't come from them. God uses a man in the area of healing. But healing, true and genuine healing, only comes from God. It isn't hype. Amen. When you see somebody healed, it's not, we don't pick them out and take them into the office before the service and say, you know what, you need to say that you had this, but now you're healed of it. No. That's not how it works. We don't go to a doctor and get a prognosis just so that we can come back and be healed of it. It's not hype. It's not fluff. It's not fake. It's not something that we can conjure up or we can make happen. Well, if I really dance good and I praise the Lord and I've got my hand on my brother and I'm really pressing in, that God's going to heal him tonight. You know what? God will heal somebody when nobody runs the aisles and nobody dances before him so that he can get the glory. Now, don't get me wrong, when the presence of God is strong in this house, and when we feel His presence, amen, I'm telling you, you've got a better chance at getting healed. If God is in this house, you are that close to touching the hem of His garment. You are that close to touching Him. And it doesn't just have to be when you come to church. You can do it in your prayer closet at home. You can do it while you're driving down the road. You can touch God anywhere. Amen. But if God doesn't heal you in the car on the way to church, then you need to ask for prayer when you get to church. And if God doesn't heal you when you're prayed for today, well, I'll be back Wednesday. And don't get the mentality that, oh, well, I'm just going to wait until Wednesday. No, I'm praying today and Wednesday and Sunday morning and Sunday night. And if they have prayer at youth night, I'm going to pray at youth night. Amen. And if Brother Worst is up here on a Tuesday afternoon and I drive by and I see his car and I need prayer, hey, Pastor, he would not think it weird at all if you came in here and asked him to pray for you. Am I wrong? No. He would stop anything that he was doing, and I guarantee you, you would not inconvenience him one bit. He would stop anything he was doing. He would get the oil, he would anoint your head, and he would pray with you until he felt the presence of God. He'll pray with you as long as you're wanting to pray. Because Brother Worse, and he gets busy too, but he's got the heart of Mary rather than Martha. He sees that it's important to just draw close to the Lord. And the things that we get distracted with, they're not as important. If I can touch the Lord, that's so much more important than doing the church's bills or whatever, working on something. Praise God. James chapter number 5 and verse 14, I quoted a little bit earlier, but it says, is any sick among you? Is anybody sick here this morning? He says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And listen to this, and brother Worth shall save the sick, or shall raise him up. And brother Reed shall raise him up. And no, it says, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The Lord shall raise him up. God is our healer today. Just like the people who came to Jesus for healing, we still come to him for healing. Amen. We come to the altar, and if the musicians would come this morning, we come to the altar and we are anointed with oil for healing. But it has to go beyond the actions today. God has to touch us. God has to heal us if we're going to be healed. I know that sounds very rudimentary, very basic today, but if we're going to be healed, it has to come from God. Let me say this morning. Don't think for a moment that if God doesn't heal you, that it's not His will to heal you. Don't think for a moment that you're not good enough, or that you're not praying hard enough, or that there's anything more that you can do to try to encourage God to heal you that day. Yes, you can press in. The woman who had the issue of blood did. She pressed in. She touched the hem of His garment. She fought her way through the crowd. And yes, we have to fight our way through sometimes. But we can't make God heal us. And we don't always understand why God does or doesn't heal us or others, loved ones, family members. That's up to God. Amen. The Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to His purpose. As flesh, that's sometimes a hard pill to swallow, because we have to just trust that God knows what He's doing and that He's got a better purpose. He's got another plan. He's got something in store. And we just, you know what? We just keep praying. God, if You heal me today, I'm going to praise You. God, but if You don't heal me today, I'm going to praise You. God, if You heal me before the day I die, I'm going to praise You. But if You never heal me until I pass from this earth or until the rapture takes place, God, I'm still going to give You the glory. Because it's God who is our healer today. The healing power of God may rest on us, but it does not reside within us. Our contribution is prayer, and our part may involve fasting. Our part may include having faith in God, but from there, amen, we leave it in the hands of Jesus. Amen. I want to read one more verse today. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Let's stand together. Hebrews 4 and 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And not just this morning. Amen. If you have a need of healing in your body, come boldly under the throne of grace each and every time that you can. Amen. If you If you don't obtain that healing that you need, if you aren't able to touch the hem of His garment today, then keep coming back until you do. Don't get discouraged. Praise God. Just keep pushing your way through the crowd until you can touch Him. Amen. And when you touch Him, amen, there's healing virtue. There's healing virtue in the hem of His garment. Praise God. Why don't we come this morning? Amen. And let's reach out to God right now. If there's any that are sick, please come to the front and we'll pray together. We'll ask for God's touch and God's healing today. I believe that God's able to heal someone this morning. Amen.